from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to
Enlightened Medicine Show. This is Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the naturopathic and holographic physician. Now tonight, you guys who have listened to me before are probably well aware of this, but occasionally I like to read from the knowledge book because it has information that's good for everybody no matter what religion or belief you have. And also, there's a sequel to that book that's called Light. And it has some further explanations and some discourses on certain subjects that really a lot of us are concerned with. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to read from the Book of Light. And we had left off talking about love. Now the difference is that tonight I've got the lines open for people to call in and discuss this. Now here's why. When this book was made, this was about, you know, not just reading it and memorizing it. This was about really just, you know, discussing the concepts and figuring out where we came from, where we're going to, how do we get through this life. And so this is all open for discussion. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read approximately about a page. It's a small book, but I'm going to read about a page, which will be, you know, about maybe 6 or 7 short paragraphs, kind of like when you're writing emails. And then if you guys want to call in and discuss any part of this, please do. Because I think that we're all here to help each other. At least that's kind of the way I was kind of understanding it. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I think that we're all here to help each other. And since time is getting short, we've got so many things going on, so many things that we have to get through yet as spiritual beings that we have to be able to access within ourselves. So it gets to be, you know, pretty important stuff. Now, I will try to keep an eye on the fast chat. However, my fast chat options kind of get a little strange every once in a while. My browser doesn't like some of my programs I have on here, so it just like wipes it out every now and then. So please be patient. Anyway, if you all are ready, I am going to start with the section where we ended last time in reading the Book of Light. So this is one of those things where you don't want to be driving. You want to be kind of, you know, in a space where you can contemplate things and see how this works into your life and, you know, what can possibly help you a little bit more to discover who you are. So I am reading from 23-3-1993, Love. Love is the foundation of the entire ordinance of cosmoses. Nature and the human being are also a product of this love. The vibration of love is the essence source of the atomic structure. In fact, in every existing thing, there are vibrations of love in accordance with their attraction powers, and this is a natural vibration. In the world, love flowing from the essence is a pure, natural love. But love put into action is an evolutionary and a universal love. And the factor taking into effect and supervising this love attains value parallel to the evolutions and consciousnesses of people. The word love expressed through speech is a frequency total in all languages. If the language of love gets out of thought and settles in one's essence, that person never again utters the word love. That person shows and exhibits his or her love through his or her deed. This situation is the saturation state of love. If love has not yet reached saturation, the word love is always and in each moment used as a recitation of the tongue. However, even everyone saying I love you to each other reflects in the void by means of the frequency of speech. If even those who do not know what love is in the world life can enter that coordinate by receiving engraftment from the frequency of love, they begin to develop within time this wonderful seed in their hearts. The entire humanity's embracing each other with love is a past and future eternal dream of the divine order. It is presented for your information. Signed, System. Love is such a great vibration that it doesn't fit into petty feelings. So for those who ask me continuously, what is love? How do you describe this? Well, you know, my idea of love is different than your idea of love. All I can say usually is BS, okay? You know what love is. You know it deep within your heart. You know it in every fiber of your being. And why is that? Why is it that you don't have to learn it? It's because you are love. It's because it is part of nature and part of us, and we were made of pieces of nature and pieces of God. So if everything is love, why do we have such a hard time understanding this? What is it going to take for people to start to realize that love really is all that there is? And what's it going to take for each one of us to love ourselves enough? What's it going to take to realize that, first of all, God don't make no junk? And secondly, we are love. Exhibit that. You know, and like the book says, you say it until you can be it. And if you remember Bob Marley's song, Could You Be Love? I love that song. Could you be love? Then be love. And it's that simple. It really is that simple. And so tonight, I'm hoping that with this reading, this will reach deeper into your psyches and will help you to heal those little nagging doubts, to heal those portions of your soul that have been wounded by the lack of love or the appearance of the lack of love. My fervent hope is that you reach deeper into the reality of love tonight. And for those listening on the archives, whenever it is that you're listening. But this is vitally important. And if nothing else, if this is all I did for the rest of the year, it would be important enough. So I'm hoping that you're kind of getting a glimmer here of what real reality is. And it goes way beyond our third dimension. Okay, since we have no callers coming in yet, no comments on the fast chat, I'm going to go on to the next section. Love and the human being, the speech. In all the celestial information given to our planet until today, first, the education programs have been taken into effect. This is a universal law. The truth information is never explained in all detail to humanity unless the time for it comes. This is a matter of permission and a deserving. Everything in its time. In the world we live presently, humanity is rolling within both a material and a spiritual chaos. The material reason for this is the human being's redemption from his or her passion for matter. And its spiritual reason is his or her redemption from his or her feelings and his or her passion for a human being. Now we know that passions are the obstacles of human beings. There is no entity who will not be seized by the colorful and powerful attraction of the world. Here, all kinds of beauties, fruits, and food are waiting to be offered to you because this place is a dimension of test. And all the beauties are each a hidden trap. All of them are programs taking into effect for your becoming integrated with yourselves. You are united with your essence personalities on this planet called the world by satisfying your hungers, by going through sufferings. You are subject to the program of learning by experience until you get free of the feelings originating from thoughts. When you attain a consciousness maturity in which you will give without receiving, will love without being loved, and you will forgive your enemy, then the tests of the world will come to an end, and the karmas will be completed. Only afterwards you may integrate with nature, and then you may flow your essence love to those who need you. After reaching such a consciousness, you consider everything as an energy within a total, and reach the philosophy, I love the created because of the Creator. Everything on your planet goes through an evolution in accordance with its own level. This includes stones, earth, trees, flowers, and all the animals. The genuine human being is the one who knows how to integrate with the entire creation. For this reason, it is said, the one who does not love animals is not a genuine human being. This love is not a made-to-order love. The genuine love for animals is not in the thought, but in the essence. In the homes of those who were unable to settle this love in their essences, not even one animal is present. Animals are such a subtle energy that they themselves choose which house they will go to and who they will be with. We may understand the evolutionary levels of the human beings on the planet Earth, setting out from this view. The resurrection mentioned in the sacred books, and which I mention in each occasion, is now being experienced by our world silently and profoundly. For a human being to become integrated with himself or herself, it is obligatory that his or her essence attain saturation for everything. For this reason, the adultery building satisfaction, too, has been taken into effect, so that consciousness progress may be made in the world. In this transition dimension, I would like to give you a key for your happiness. However, I hope these truths I talk about will not drag you into pessimism. For me, happiness is to live by knowing the reason of the experienced events. For this reason, I am telling you everything with all clarity. Because of this, knowing the matter of the human being and love in detail will make you attain a lot. In fact, love is a human being loving himself or herself in the opposite sex. That is, it is the focusing of the love in you on an opposite point. This is a point meditation. Love is not a plectrum. It only touches the love string within you. The plectrum does not play the instrument. It only touches the string. The one who will play the instrument is the hand of the owner of that instrument. The melodies coming out of the played instrument belong to the one who plays the instrument. That is, everyone plays his or her instrument himself or herself. No one can play the instrument of anyone else. Love is this very thing. By the first plectrum touching the instrument of a human being, as the vibrations increase on the strings, the unknown gates within the essences are opened, and you begin to swim in the sea of love. There is no land to this sea. You continuously swim here not to be drowned, and you get tired as you swim. Then you realize that everything is you and that everything is from you to you. If a person falls in love, he or she first gives his or her essence love to the opposite sex. However, he or she receives only the love of flesh from the other person. This is a program, for this is necessary for evolution. Whoever a human being falls in love with, this means that that person definitely needs the love of essence. This feeling's becoming a passion enters into effect by the influences. Otherwise, no one can experience love. For this reason, love is represented by the Eros's arrow. The first step of evolution is to taste the worldly love and to transcend it. When you give someone your love of essence, you are bound to him or her passionately. To expect reciprocation in love causes you to make emotional evolution. By this means, you are freed of the passion of emotion, and you acquire a strong personality. You can never open wings to the unknown dimensions unless you get free of all the passions. In this case, you remain in the world dimension in consciousness, for this is a program. While you are experiencing love, in fact, you love your own essence in the opposite sex. That is, you love your own self. This very feeling deceives you, and you experience the deception that the opposite sex loves you, whereas that opposite sex has only loved your frequency of the flesh. And this is a very important element for his or her saturation of the flesh. An entity who has not reached the saturation of the flesh can never fall in love, can never be giving. He or she is always on the receiving side. It is only after falling in love that the love channels of the essence open. It is only then that you become the giving side. For this reason, it has been said, if there is no love, then there is no practice. The entire deception and unhappiness of humanity originate from these emotions. The saturation for love of a human being is his or her integration with himself or herself, and his or her marriage with himself or herself. Neither men nor women who have attained this consciousness can ever be a beggar for love. His or her point of view for human beings change, and he or she becomes more respectful. In genuine love, equivalent evolution and equivalent coordinate are the matter in question. You can never find these qualities in the world, because this place is a dimension of test, and everybody is in a different evolution, a different coordinate. For this reason, the frequency of love projects you to you, thus creates in you the feeling of being loved. The human being always needs the human being for evolution. If these emotions were not experienced, no one could get free of the world passion. You know that the world is not a place to land on, but a place to fly from. And each good or bad event experienced is for the benefit of the human being and of humanity. And this is signed Bulent Korak. So when we look at these things and we look at love, and so many people ask me about this, if you look at it from this larger aspect, that we're really here just to learn a few things and to really discover the love within ourselves, doesn't it make it a little bit easier to understand your relationships? Well, let me give you guys the call-in numbers, too. Toll-free call-in for USA and Canada is 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. Or worldwide is 877-489-6350. That's 877-489-6350. Or the direct line is 530-776-5154. And again, that's 530-776-5154. So if you'd like to make any comments on what I'm reading, as I'm reading here, I will pause here and there to give you time to make your comments on the fast chat or to make your comments by calling in. So this is your big chance. You can get a word in edgewise. So as I look back over this wonderful thing that I just read about love and the human being, I read that to you because people are hurting. And I know since that last energy jolt hit us around the full moon, people have showed their ugly faces to other people. And I mean ugly. Stuff is being kicked up. The whole point of these things that happen when those energy jolts hit the planet, what we're supposed to do is notice what's happening, and as these things get kicked up, deal with them. Get rid of them. Come clean. Do whatever it is that you have to do to heal that and be done with it. So as an example, during the full moon, when that stuff hit, I think it was a Wednesday that it hit, not only did it hurt physically for me and a lot of other people, but as I went out into the town, everybody was acting as if their brain pans were on too tight. And they were just going crazy and angry and irritated and paranoid and fearful. And all of these things were up for clearing. Now, a lot of us know how to do that because we've been doing this stuff for a long time. So, for instance, what you do is just you look at people with the light of love and you go, wow, okay, I see what's going on, and it's really not about me. So what you're really going to be doing when these things happen is looking at yourself. And what happens is what's really within you is what you see in somebody else. So when you look at them and you feel a need to judge them and say, oh, well, they're this way or they're that way, oh, they're just a couple of jerks, well, they're really into fear, or, you know, they're very angry. Are they really? Or is that really you? I mean, they are us anyway. We are the enemy. He is us. So what you do is just kind of notice, you know, don't beat yourself over the head with the bloody stump of your arm that you just ripped off, but rather notice it and say, all right, I don't really want to be involved in this, and kind of back away from it. I went home. You know, I was going, oh, my God, people are just, like, too intense. At that point, I didn't want to deal with it because I knew that what was coming up was their stuff and they didn't know how to handle it. So what I did is I decided to go home. And I went home and I sat by myself for about 4 days and I smudged the house, I talked to the cats, I did stuff on the computer, I read. I kind of just allowed myself to just be. And I contemplated the parts of myself that were up for review. Because as people were saying things to me or complaining about their lives or whatever, I listened very carefully because I realized that whatever it is they were talking about was what was up for clearing in my life. And so, you know, nobody's ever healed alone. So I started looking at that and going, okay, well, here's a few issues that I need to deal with. And so I went home and I dealt with them. How did I deal with them? I prayed, I meditated, did a fast, did a few things, you know, to help myself to get over those rough bumps. So as a result, by the time Sunday rolled around, I was feeling pretty good. I was pretty happy. The rest of the town that hadn't done that was not very happy. People that did it were happy, so it wasn't just me. And I want to talk to you guys about fasting also while I'm thinking about it. So before I read the next section, Madeline and I were talking about this, the fasting and the prayer that that so many religious people do. And it's not just Christians, you know, it's the Muslims, it's the Jews, it's the Japanese, it's the Chinese, you know. Buddhists have been doing fasting for a long time. It's the Hindus, you know. I mean, look at the hunger fast that Gandhi did. Gandhi refused to eat. One person peacefully demonstrated by fasting for a particular thing and changed and stopped an empire. That's pretty darn powerful. And I thought about this as I was discussing it. And I thought, you know, I have done many, many fasts in my life. I never did them for a spiritual purpose. Except, well, no, I can't say never. I did one 3-day fast for spiritual purpose, and it was amazing. But all of the rest of them, and I've done everything from a 1-day fast to a 40-day fast. And I used to fast every 2 months for 8 days for 4 years, and I was extremely healthy, very, very intuitive, very sensitive to what was going on. And I spent a lot of time going out of my body and listening to the Ascended Masters and to Jesus speak and, you know, all these great ones. It was amazing. So what I'm suggesting, and I'm just going to throw that out there right at the moment, is that all of us together do a fast. And I'll talk about this more. I've sent in an email asking this one pastor to come on the show and explain it. So I'm thinking about doing this fast sometime in October, but before Thanksgiving, because, you know, everybody's got to have their Thanksgiving stuff. And you know, can't do the Halloween thing either. You know, got to have that Halloween candy. So I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, you know. But here's the deal. One of the things that this pastor pointed out was that you have to fast and pray and give at the same time. Now, I've given my entire life and continue to give and wonder how long I have to keep on giving. Okay? And the answer is forever. So, so I'm trying to get used to that, okay? But the other thing is when you're fasting for a purpose, it changes you and it empowers your purpose. And when you're doing prayer at the same time, then you've got a triple whammy going. And so this book that I read, they were talking about how it is the duty of every Christian to fast, pray, and give. And they talked about Jesus going into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and doing a complete fast and being able to resist the temptations that were put before him. And then they were talking about all of these miracles that had happened with people because they earnestly fasted and prayed for a purpose, and they demanded that they be given an answer, that they be given a miracle. They did this believing that it would change their lives. So now it could be belief system, you know, it could be that this is one of the laws of the universe, it could be that this is the way that this 3D was set up. I don't know. Who cares? My question is, if we did this as a group, can we change the world? And I think we can. So I'm going to be asking people to please join me in a fast. We'll do, you know, an easy fast first. If you have a medical condition, please make sure you get checked with your doctor first to do a fast. And it'll be an easy fast, okay? It's going to be what's called a Daniel fast, where you just abstain from bread and meats and sweets. And, you know, and so you just pretty much eat healthy. But you would also fast, you know, a certain number of hours during the day if you're able. So I'm throwing that out there because I'm going to be talking more about it later, because I'm looking for everything that I can to help in this transition that we're going through. Okay, so now back to light. There's a saying from The Essence. We have lit the oil lamps. We have looked around. We have taken everyone who is human in this heart. If not tolerant, the heart cannot see the heart. If one's states are not known, these paths are not treaded. We have become very patient. We have been filled into goblets, becoming the slave of love. We have found ourselves. Nothing happens without a cause. The cause creating a cause is always born from an effect. Ataturk's views about Mevlana. After establishing the Republic during his visit to Konya, Ataturk wrote about the Mevlani order in the registers of the Turkish Health Club. It is the hearth of the great divine light which has been blazing for centuries and is the basic source of the Turkish culture. Again, one day when Mevlana had been mentioned during a conversation in Garakaya, Ataturk said, Mevlana was a reformer who adapted the Islamic faith into the Turkish spirit. Now, I'm not Turkish, so I can't, you know, speak to any of that, but I can tell you that that the truths that I've seen in these books have just been amazing. During a conversation, Ataturk explained his views about the Mevlani order to Abdulrahim Celebi as follows. You, the Mevlevis, have struggled with ignorance and fanaticism for centuries. You have contributed with spiritual knowledge to science and art. In order not to make an exceptional procedure in reforms, we have to take the Mevlevi covenants, too, into the scope of law of the dervish convents and lodges. However, Mevlana, his thoughts and knowledge will live eternally, and I believe that they will manifest in the future in a more fundamental way. So when you look upon that, you look at one person made a huge difference. And his order made a huge difference. How powerful was that one person? And I read this portion to you. It's about history and things of the order. But the reason that I read that particular little phrase and quote to you is because I'd like you to understand that every one of you is important. We need you. We need each other. No one can afford to sit by on the sidelines. We each have so many things that we've come to do, and we have so many gifts. And if we can avoid being distracted, and I'm speaking to myself here too, okay, because I have tended to get rather distracted with a lot of things and not paid attention to things that I should have just because of that, distractions. And so, you know, I go through this stuff too, guys. You know, there's all kinds of things going on. And we have to remind ourselves sometimes why we're here. So please understand that you are important. If I can get anything across to you tonight beyond love, it's just that you're important. We need you. I need you. You need you. So please, shine. Okay, now I'm going to read a little bit on time, space, and relativity. This is dated 21-6-2000. During the age in which you live at the moment, the human generation has transcended the formation process. However, since time and space is a relative isotope, your life tableau, too, is being selected within this relativity. In fact, that which creates time is space. In isotopes in which there is no space, molecules of timelessness are in effect. In time periods in which the entire ordinance, the entire system, and the entire order are in effect, everything can be explained by the theory of relativity. However, time is long being transcended, and the data are entering into effect according to these time isotopes. Fundamental principles habituated to until today are being abolished for this reason. The unknownnesses of the unknowns are upsetting all the systems according to your consciousness levels. Interesting, huh? The unknownness of the unknowns. Theories, which are the foundation stones of science, have always entered into effect parallel to the human consciousnesses and have made their proofs by consciousness progresses. However, since each proof is valid according to the medium consciousness, in dimensional progresses, there are data where science, too, has come to an end. Did you catch that? In dimensional progresses, there are data where science, too, has come to an end. Where do we go from here? There's a lot of us that are talking about what we think might be happening. There's a lot of really interesting developments in quantum physics. And there's a lot of talk now by the people who are intuitive that we are becoming beings that have never been seen on this earth before, that we are becoming made of silica, that we are becoming something that is not going to exist in the third dimension, that we will only be fourth dimensional. In other words, we become moving holograms. You know, so far we've been holograms projected from another place that are kind of following the script. So perhaps as we gain consciousness, we are the hologram moving around on its own volition. I don't know for sure, but, you know, I sit around and think about these kinds of things. So there's a lot of changes happening, and science can't guide us anymore. It's trying, but things are changing. And if you have been listening to several of the shows here on BBS, then you know that people are out there that have a new truth that that have had to run with this new truth because people are trying to squash them. They're trying to keep them from getting this new truth out there because the end result of the new truth will be the abolition of all governments and all religious dogmas. That's pretty horrifying to the guys that are in charge. When we learn the truth, it will set us free. Okay, let me continue here. while universal isotopes are kindling the consciousness lights, while human consciousnesses are diving into the depths of the unknowns, the human being will never be able to consider as non-existent all the information he or she has received. For that which renders the human being of today the human being are these data they have received from their first existence until today. Everything is harmonious with its origin and is correct. However, science transcending time is just opening ajar the gate of the unknowns. In the age you live in, the mankind will never know and grasp by its consciousness and thought of today that the speeds of light attain a speed parallel to the consciousness lights. In fact, that which takes into effect and keeps in effect time and space, and at the same time, the supervision of the speeds of light is the thought power and the speed of thought. For this reason, when one day mankind discovers and understands what the speed of thought is in accordance with the consciousness, it will attain in the morrows, it will all also experience its genuine shock. I bet. Folks, we're not in Kansas anymore. I don't know quite where the tornado is going to land us, but I think it's going to be very interesting. Humanity has henceforth begun to undertake its universal power gradually. However, the consciousness progresses in the morrows will surprise everybody even more and will create a consciousness chaos on your planet. In future years, by the operations to be made on your planet, everything will be discovered, everything will be proven. However, their source will never be reached. At the moment, it is not easy at all to reach spaces beyond space. The human being is still pursuing secrets, but the universe is pursuing consciousness. Only 1 out of 1,000 of these secrets are conveyed even to universal consciousnesses. Each secret will be unveiled within the time experienced, and the brain generators will work even more in this way. And through this way, the morrows and the unknowns will be reached, and one day, what high technology is will be known. Note, an information. In 1965, an isotope filling the universe and being equal to a photon gas exhibited the presence of a radiation. And an isotope is any 2 or more forms of an element having the same atomic number and similar chemical properties, but differing in mass number and radioactive behavior. So with what I've just read, you may be gleaning that things are going to change a whole lot. Now, I've been talking with a couple friends who have been with shamans and, you know, doing quite a bit of fasting and prayer and doing what they can to clear the negative energies on this planet, because that's what needs to happen. We put those energies there. We need to clear them, all of us, collectively. And so it's our job to stay out of fear, to stay in the point of love and peace as much as possible, and to completely heal all of those areas of our life where we've had these thoughts of negativity. We need to get beyond that. We need to get to the point where we just don't even go there. You know, forget the worries, forget the paranoia, all these fears and everything else. You really bring it to you. So it's up to us, folks. Nobody's coming to save us. It's us. We save ourselves. And when you see that we are moving into something that's going to work differently, when you see that nothing that worked the way it even works right now is going to work ever again for us, because we will not be in that space, this is what's causing a lot of concern among people. You know, if you feel that stuff deep inside of you and you think, oh, I must be feeling something like, you know, the doom of the world or something really horrible, well, maybe not. What you may be experiencing is life as we know it is about to be over, but that's because we're moving into a higher dimension of love and a different time and space, or just beyond time, moving into something that nobody here knows. And so we feel a little bit scared about that. You know, what do? How do we move through it? How are we going to survive? Well, I'm not sure. I can tell you I've been looking on the web lately, and I have found some interesting laboratory data on the stuff they've been spraying on us in the chemtrails. Anything from little nanobots to crystals that have grown inside of people. And they're apophyllite crystals, which is really interesting because apophyllite has been known as the ET communication stone for a long time. I mean, they've been selling it, you know, in the metaphysical world as an adjunct to help you communicate with ETs for, what, 50 years or something? So I find it very interesting that people are growing apophyllite crystals that are tiny, like we're talking about the size of a grain of pepper. They're growing these things in their body. The interesting thing is that when you touch this thing with a needle, it will glow by itself for several seconds. That's quite interesting. So if this is happening within us, and some people's hair is being replaced with polyethylene fibers, and these fibers that are growing out of people with Morgellons disease are not cotton, they're actually polyethylene and polypropylene, and they found that the tissues that are made with these things will not burn until 600 degrees Fahrenheit. What is really happening? Are we becoming something that is a silicate being or a plastic being? I mean, that's all plastic, but except for the apophyllite. Very interesting things going on, and it's not like we can do anything about it. You know, the most that we can do is that we can stay in that point of joy and love and not be paranoid about this stuff. Don't worry about it. Know that it's there, but don't worry about it. You know, it's been done. So now let's move on. Let's go into the next phase. Let's get ourselves up to the point where we become who we're supposed to be. And nobody can do that for us. Okay? You guys have to do it each on your own. We can help each other to discover how to get over the bumps. I mean, that's what teaching is all about anyway. So we help ourselves and each other that way. But we have to come together, not as a hive mentality, but rather as individuals who choose to cooperate together in love and light. That's what it's all about. As I am fond of saying, it's all about relationship. Our relationship with each other, our relationship with the earth, everything. And yes, whatever they're spraying on us in the skies, it's not just poisonous stuff, it's a whole bunch of really interesting things. And I don't think they know what's going to happen. I think they know, but I think they're going to be surprised. And, you know, I know that the powers that be that exist in the higher dimensions are here to help us. And the way that they help is that they make sure that whatever is done to the mass of people on Earth who are innocent is something that is going to surprise the heck out of everyone, because it's not going to be what they planned. So I'm very heartened by that. And, you know, as one who's been sprayed on many times living in Sedona, I can tell you, I wasn't happy to see the little glittering things all over in the sky. And knowing that you're breathing them in and you can't stop it. If you want to breathe, you breathe them in. If you want to eat, if you want to drink, you're getting them in that way. So rather than worrying about that, let's get our vibratory level up so high that either these things can't live in us, or we utilize them and change them into something that's better, that's never before been seen. So that's my thought for the week. So, we've got some exciting guests that are going to be coming up. I have a doctor coming on who is going to be talking about empathy, how we connect through empathy, and this is a brain study that's been done. He's got several things, and he's got a book out. He'll be coming in October. Also, Dr. Jill Taylor will be on. The previous physician is Dr. Marco Iacoboni. I'm not sure if I got his name right, so Marco, if you're listening, forgive me. And also I've contacted a few other people that are quite interesting. Some physicists, Dr. Fred Allen Wolf, said, call me again in about 6 months because he's busy. So we're going to be bringing some people together to help us to discover ourselves. You know, how do we move into this new consciousness? How can we do this in a way that brings joy to our hearts? That's what I'm looking for. So that's it for this week. Thank you guys for listening. You know, I love you guys. I hope this has helped. And hope you're feeling warm fuzzies in your heart, because I'm sending them to you right now. Take a deep breath. Here you go. Lots of love. So, until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
Do 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 do